My friends, you can go to the grave of Muhammad, and he's still there. You can visit the cremated remains of Buddha, and he's still there. You can go to the grave of Confucius, and he's still there. But if you go to the grave of Jesus Christ, he is not there, for he is risen just as he said. Oh, my friend, the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection validates the gospel message. Oh, we talk about the blessing of sins forgiven. We talk about a future home that is being prepared for us when this life is over. And I'll tell you what, the reality of it is sure, because we have a risen Savior who has given his own lifeblood so that we could be saved, so our sin could be settled. And so it also secures victory for us today. Jesus said to his followers, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have victory because of Jesus. The resurrection gives meaning to our life, important meaning. Life is not just living and dying and nothing of consequence. Life has much consequence, and what we do and the choices we make is very consequential. Whether we choose Jesus and know the blessedness of salvation and the glory of eternal life, or whether we reject him and go our own way and know the judgment and damnation of our own sin. And so today, we want to rejoice in the choice Jesus has made available for every man, woman, and child, that we can be saved from our sin. And so his resurrection assures the believer's future. And so a very happy Easter to you. I'd like to share a scripture this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to take it there to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The account of the resurrection is given in all four Gospels, as well as in 1 Corinthians, and certainly alluded to in many other places in the Scripture. But in Matthew 28, we will find our reading here this morning, beginning with verse number 1. We'll read down through verse 6. The Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." See the place where the Lord lay. He is risen indeed. This morning, we're going to be looking at appearances of the risen Christ. And on that very first resurrection day, the first day of the week, when Jesus conquered death, he appeared five times that are recorded in Scripture to his followers on different situations, of which we will look at here this morning. We have read the account here in Matthew, which talked to us about a great earthquake. But before we got there, I'd like to just remind you of how Jesus was taken down from that cross. A man known as Joseph of Arimathea. He was a wealthy man, and yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked Pilate if he could please take the lifeless, dead body of Jesus down from the cross. And he and some others, ladies standing by, watching intently in deep sorrow, and they placed Jesus Christ in his own tomb, Joseph did. It was a tomb he'd prepared for himself one day, and perhaps family members, but no one had ever been buried there. And Joseph willingly gave that tomb. Jesus was placed there lovingly, but quickly, for the Sabbath day drew on. And then, as the Sabbath passed, the ladies, specifically the Bible says, those who knew the Lord and loved him and had served him and listened to him, and ones such as Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven devils. Mary Magdalene, so grateful to the Lord Jesus, and the others were grieved at this unbelievable turn of events. The one they had trusted, the one they had depended on, the one who had the answer for every problem, was dead and so brutally treated. They grieved. And as the Sabbath went by, which is Saturday, they had prepared spices. And the Bible records for us that early in the morning, on that first day of the week, at the crack of dawn, we might say, when the sun was just starting to come up, the Bible tells us that there was a great earthquake. We read there in Matthew 28. And the soldiers, which was at least four soldiers, possibly more than that, but at least four soldiers standing guard around the clock that whole weekend, they became, the Bible says, as dead men. And the angel, the Bible says that the countenance of the angel was like lightning. He was so bright. And the Bible says the angel rolled back the stone from the sepulcher and sat upon it. Now, about this time, the ladies were coming with the spices they had prepared to do a more proper burial for Jesus. And as they drew to the tomb area on their walk that early morning, they wondered amongst themselves, who would roll the stone away? How are they going to get in? And as they talked of this and brought the spices, they found the stone was rolled away. The tomb was open to their shock and to their surprise. At first, the scripture, comparing all the passages, seems that they didn't at first see any angels, but rather it seems that Mary Magdalene ran back to tell Peter and John that Jesus' body had been stolen. I'd like to read a few passages from some of the other Gospels. And so now let's go to Mark 16. Mark and chapter 16. We're going to read beginning with verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1 down through verse 4. The Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And so at this point, I believe Mary Magdalene left the other ladies, and she ran to go tell Peter and John. And as she ran, the other ladies stayed there. And it seems that they then saw the angel, which said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here, but is risen." Let's notice in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, going to Luke's account, and chapter 24. Beginning with verse 2. Luke 24, verse 2. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And so the angel reports or declares this wonderful message to these very perplexed ladies. Again, I'm thinking that Mary Magdalene had left. She had run to go tell Peter and John. And you know, sometimes we think maybe these places were just 5 minutes away, but not necessarily. To go across back into Jerusalem and to find someone's home may have been several kilometers. And so walking on foot or running would have definitely taken a bit of time. And so Mary Magdalene, having been gone, didn't see the angels, didn't hear the report that he is risen from the angels, the other ladies having heard that. Now, we'll go to another passage of Scripture, and that's in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, and chapter 20, we'll begin with verse 1. The Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre," remember, running and on foot there, and perhaps several kilometers. "And so they ran," verse 4 says, "both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." The Lord Jesus had been wrapped, as we might say, a mummy would be wrapped, when the cloth wrapped around their body. And you know what? Something very powerful happened as John saw those grave clothes that were still there. They were empty. If someone had stolen the body of Jesus, oh, it would have been pretty hard to steal a body without taking the clothes. Honestly. But John recognized, hey, he hasn't been taken. He is alive. Notice what verse 8 says. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. He didn't see an empty tomb. He saw a tomb that had no body with empty grave clothes left behind. And so John saw and believed, the Bible says here in verse 8. And so we see the faith beginning in a few of the disciples, a few of the followers of Jesus, many still struggling in unbelief, not knowing what really was transpiring. Now, as we've read this portion of Scripture with Peter and John running to the tomb, remember, we first and foremost had a group of several women, including Mary Magdalene, that had come early to the sepulcher to anoint Jesus' body. They came and found, to their shock and surprise, the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene ran off probably very quickly, leaving the other ladies still at the tomb, and she ran off to call Peter and John and say, you know, the body's been stolen. This is horrible and terrible. And John and Peter run to the tomb. Now, I believe Mary Magdalene came behind them, but she probably couldn't run as fast and was already tired out from running one direction. But she was on her return to the tomb. Now, before Peter and John got there, the others that had come with the spices, they had already seen the vision of angels, which said, he's alive, he's risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And they had left the tomb and headed to go and tell the disciples. And so their paths did not cross. And Peter and John have now come, and they have seen the empty tomb, and John has seen, more importantly, the empty grave clothes, and he has believed that Jesus indeed is alive. Now, we have the first two appearances coming right up here, and I'm not dogmatic on which one occurred first, but it is very clear that Jesus appeared, the risen Christ appeared first to the women. There's two occasions of him appearing to the women or to a woman. The first one we'll look at is when the ladies who had left the tomb site before Peter and John got there, the ladies, excluding Mary Magdalene, as they were going to tell the disciples the news the angels had shared, Jesus himself appeared unto them. And they were just amazed. The Bible doesn't say a lot about it, but it just cemented the reality that, wow, he is risen. The angel's word was accurate. And they continued to go and tell his disciples that he is risen indeed. We have seen him. Now, during this time, Mary Magdalene is at the sepulcher. She's weeping. She's crying. She now sees the angels. But as she sees the angels inside the tomb, the Bible says in the doorway, in the entrance of the tomb, someone talks to her. She thought it was the gardener. And as he talks with her, and she weeps, and she says, where have you taken my Lord? You know what Jesus said to her? Mary. And she recognizes who it is. Now, we've got John 20 open before us. Let's begin reading in verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So at this time, as Mary has that privilege of seeing Jesus personally alive and talking with him, Jesus says, I need to ascend back to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Oh, wow. You know, Jesus is a personal Savior. The personal aspects here. You know, when we think about God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the world, it's not just a God or the God, but it's our God. It's Jesus God, his Father, and our Father, Jesus, the Almighty God, the Son of God. We share that union with the Lord. What a personal God we have. And so here we have the very first two appearances of the risen Savior to women, to the ladies, on two separate occasions that Easter morning. And so praise God for this. Now, the interesting thing is that the disciples were very slow to believe. In fact, Luke 24 verse 11 says that their words, that's the words of the ladies who had seen Jesus alive, their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. Oh, my friend. You know, are you slow to believe what God has said? Are we doubting what the Scripture has said? Do we believe this to be the reality, the truth of what God says about the meaning of our life? About the purpose of why we're here, about what's better to do with this life, such as living for Jesus instead of living for ourselves? Do we believe the words that Jesus has spoken about life in himself? He is the risen Savior. Oh, you're free to doubt. I mean, that's your privilege, but Jesus is the only hope. Oh, at this time when we are reminded how frail we are, let us remember the hope of the world is Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the light and life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, we have a Savior, friends. We have a Savior who loves us and who personally came to us and gave his life so that we could be his child, that we could share with his Father. In his Father's house, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Oh, friend, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, these are the first two experiences or appearances of the risen Savior. Well, we saw the first two appearances of the risen Christ to the ladies who left the tomb, excluding Mary Magdalene at that time, as Jesus met them on the way, as they went to tell the disciples they had seen the angels who reported he is alive. And then to Mary Magdalene, who was weeping at the tomb site. The angels having talked to her, and then Jesus, who she first did not recognize. What a Savior. Well, on this first day of the week, on that very first Easter, the Bible tells us that the next appearances really weren't until later in the day. So here we have hours passing. The disciples are doubting, many of them. The ladies, what did they see? They say they saw a vision of angels. They say they saw the Lord himself. But the disciples had not seen him. They were still confused and bewildered, and their emotions were all over the place, and they weren't sure what to do or where to go. And the Bible says there were two disciples. One is named Cleopas, and the other is not named. I kind of think it's Cleopas's wife, but I don't know that for sure. But we find the account in Luke 24. Would you go there with me? Luke 24. And so with the better part of the day having gone by with no more appearances of the Lord Jesus, these two disciples in verse 13, Luke 24, verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." This is approximately 6.6 miles away. And they went to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, the Bible says, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass here these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, Jesus engaged with these two disciples, whether it's two gentlemen that were headed back to Emmaus, or whether it was Cleopas and his wife going back to their own home in Emmaus. Jesus came and walked with them and said, "What are you talking about? Why are you so sad? What's going on?" And they began to share their perspective and where they were at and how the disappointment and the grief in their hearts was great, and how they expected this Jesus to be their Savior, the Messiah, and now all their hopes were dashed. The women's report, which they struggled to believe. And Jesus rebuked them gently in verse 25 and says, "Why are you so slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken?" I want to remind you that Jesus is the fulfiller of the Old Testament scriptures. The prophets prophesied countless, many, many prophecies regarding Jesus. And Jesus believed them all. Jesus supports them all. Jesus believes the Bible. He supports the whole of scripture. All that the prophets have spoken, he says in verse 25. Verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered," Jesus said, "these things, and to enter into his glory?" And look at this, verse 27. I love this verse. "And beginning at Moses," now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote those things long after, you know, Genesis particularly, long after he was alive, Moses did. He wrote about creation through divine inspiration. Moses wasn't there, but God used Moses to pen those words, those truths. And Jesus believes the writings of Moses. Notice what he says in verse 27. "And beginning at Moses," Jesus here talking, "and all the prophets," again, all the prophets, "he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Oh, my friend, it doesn't matter where you go in the Bible. Jesus is the central theme. Jesus, the Savior of the world. He's from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He was prophesied to come, the one who would bruise the serpent, deliver a death blow to his head. And indeed, he has done that on the cross and in his glorious resurrection. And so Jesus explains throughout the whole scripture of the Old Testament in this case about himself to Cleopas and this other disciple. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight." We have here the second appearance of, the third appearance of the risen Savior appearing to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And verse 32, it says, "And they said," that's Cleopas and the other disciple, "and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem." I want to make a note right here as they explain again and talk about how Jesus, who they didn't recognize at the time, opened the scriptures. I'll tell you, there's no greater testament but the Word of God. The glorious Word of God is living and powerful, and it is a faithful declaration of God's love to us, of our need for Jesus, of how we came into this world, and of how to know your sins are forgiven. Oh, the Word of God is faithful. You want to know more about Jesus? Oh, friend, there's no better book to research, to come to know, to study diligently than the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Oh, in our day when there's so much noise in this world, there's so many outlets for information. Oh, my friend, Google is not the answer to your questions, to life's deepest question. Now, Google can sometimes point you in the right direction. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, you will never go wrong when you faithfully study the Scriptures. Get to know God. He, by the Holy Spirit, will open up, just as Jesus did here on the road to Emmaus to these disciples. He'll open up the Scriptures. And so they return that 6.5 miles to Emmaus. They get up from that quick lunch there, as it were, in the evening, and they head back, all the way back. They just came, but they're excited. They saw Jesus. Cleopas is excited, and they're just rejoicing as they head back to find the other disciples. And you know what? It says in verse 33, and they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now, when they got back to Jerusalem, of course, it took a little while. You're not going to walk 6.5 miles. Even if you're walking fast, it's going to take some time. And as they got back, you know what? It seems apparent that Jesus had already, once he vanished from their table, he had already gone. And during the time they were walking back to Jerusalem, he appeared to Simon Peter. Verse 34. And the Lord, so when Cleopas and the other disciple get back to where the other disciples are in Jerusalem, this is what they come into the conversation hearing. Verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Simon Peter, oh, the one who had denied Jesus, the one who, although he vowed he never would, the one who denied him 3 times on that bitter evening when Christ was arrested. Oh, Peter, he was so distraught. He was so in agony in his own spirit for his unbelief, for his denial of the one he loved. And Jesus saw fit to give him a personal experience. Jesus appeared to Simon. Oh, there's not much that's said about it. But oh, for Simon Peter, that must have been such a blessing to know that he was still loved by the one who he had failed. Even though he had hurt Jesus deeply, even though he had cursed and denied he ever knew him, Jesus still loved him. Oh, friend, it doesn't matter what you've done against Jesus. His arms are still open. I'll tell you what, every sin we've ever committed is against our Lord. But just as those wicked soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross, and Jesus didn't curse them, Jesus loved them, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." And I'll tell you what, Jesus restored Peter. He restored Peter, and Peter became a great preacher, a bold man of God, as he yielded his life to God, and as he knew the power of the Spirit of God in his life. Peter was nothing, but Jesus in Peter was everything. What a witness Peter became. And so we see the fourth appearance of the risen Savior here to Simon Peter. Now, they're all excited. I mean, Cleopas is sharing what happened on the road to Emmaus and the things that he saw and heard from Jesus. And Simon is excited. the ladies are saying, yeah, you should have believed us. We saw him this morning. And verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Can you imagine? I mean, there they are. The group has gathered. Excitement is generating. You've seen him. Oh, what was that like? And all of a sudden, Jesus is right there in the midst. And they were terrified, verse 37. And they were terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit, and he said unto them, why are ye so troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. You see, Jesus truly did die, and he truly did arise. The resurrection was literal, physical. It was real. He had a real body. He goes on here, not only to show his hands and feet and says to them that he has flesh and bones. He's not just a spirit, but he has flesh and bones, as ye see me have, verse 39. Now verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? He was hungry, perhaps. Or he wanted to show them that he was real. Verse 42, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses. Oh, here he goes again, affirming the scriptures way back to those first five books of the Old Testament. And he says, all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets like Isaiah, Malachi, you know, Jeremiah, you name it, in all the prophets and in the Psalms. The Psalms. He affirms these scriptures as divine, as about him, as things that must be fulfilled. Notice that in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Notice this, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Ye are witnesses. Repentance and faith in Jesus is the way of salvation. Oh, friends, this isn't a little mind game. This isn't just a crutch, or this isn't a crutch or something we just need something to believe in. Oh, no, Jesus is real. My friend, he is alive. He is well. He defeated death. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He is coming again one day and very soon. Oh, my friend, yes, he will. There are many parts of the scripture that are not yet fulfilled, but oh, they will be. They will. Are you walking in the light of God's word? Are you cultivating a deeper heart of faith? Are you letting God open to you the scriptures? I encourage you to get to know your Bible better. Oh, we get to know so much information. But you know what? It's not information we need. It's an interactive relationship with the Lord Jesus. It starts by simple faith. Believe. Believe it to be true. Believe who he is, God the Son and the Son of God. Believe in the incarnation, that he came from heaven's glory and became a man Believe that he is sinless, like he said. Believe that he gives life for you, for that is why he died. Believe that your sins were laid on him, like the scripture says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, friends, the gospel is simple. Jesus is the answer. Simple faith alone is the key. Have you trusted Jesus? If not, there's no better time than now. Right where you are, to bow your knee and call on Jesus in simple faith to save you. Would you do that? If you are saved, are you going to grow in faith? Are you going to live for this Jesus who loves you and died for you and who's living for you? One day we will see him. Will you be glad to see him because you've been living for him and walking with him? Oh, my friend, it doesn't happen by accident. By accident, by natural progression, we're selfish, self-focused, and faithless. But when we get into God's word and cultivate our heart of faith, a heart for God, we can see God do amazing things in our life. And we can see the victory that Jesus promised for us, the victory he won on the cross and through the resurrection. If you have any questions or any ways we can help, please contact us at Victory Baptist Church. It's a joy to have you join us today for this special Easter service. At this time, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son. Thank you so much that Jesus took the price of our sin on himself, that our damnation he endured. Thank you also that he extends to us his life. The very life of Jesus, that eternal life, which is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our walk with you. I pray that as we spend time with our families, that we would contemplate deeply the glorious truth of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone who needs to be saved, I pray that today would be that day that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us by way of this broadcast. Sure appreciate that, and I trust the Word of God's been a blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you as you walk with the risen Savior. Indeed, he is alive.